Coming up on this episode of the Creepercast, we look back at 2012, the good, the bad, and the Mike.
Hi, this is Barry Bostwick.
This is Bill Oberst Jr.
This is Mike from Evolution of the Apocalypse.
Hey, it's Gary Steiner from Night of the Living Dead and Save the Chapel.
Hey, this is Justin Beam, author of Halloween, the complete authorized history.
Hey, I'm Madison Lentz. I play Sophia from AMC's The Walking Dead.
What's up? This is Neil Brown Jr., who is also Guillermo on The Walking Dead.
Hey, this is Nick Everhart, writer, director, producer.
What's cracking? What's cracking? My name is Noel G. I was one of the Vatos and Vatos. The first season, which was the fourth episode from The Walking Dead AMC Live.
Hey, listeners, this is Peter Dukes from Dream Seekers Productions.
Hi, this is Rhiannon Frater. I'm the author of the As the World Dies trilogy.
Hey, I'm Scott Glosserman, co-writer, director, and producer of Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
So there's only one place you guys need to go for your horror movies and news.
Creepercast.
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 Creepcast.
The Creepercast.
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 The Creepercast.
I want you to be a cast member.
Do you hear me? Good. Don't make me go creepy on your ass.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Creepercast with Jeff and Jason. I'm Jason, and with me always is Jeff. He's known as the fastest shot in the West. At least, that's what women tell me. And even a couple men.
At his local YMCA, he's known as the reason to always wear flip-flops at the pool.
And I just want to say right now that after watching his choices for his birthday films, I have discovered that Jeff is a very, very sick man. Not only do you need psychiatric help, you may want to see a priest or two. In Thailand, he's known as a trapeze bar. No real insult today, but I do want to let you know that he doesn't sleep in his underwear. I unfortunately found that out on a camping trip, and I still have nightmares. He's like that bad New Year's date you just can't get rid of, and then forces you to get a new phone number. He's like that annoying itch you just can't reach to scratch, so you're doomed to simply hitting yourself over and over and over again. And with me always is Mike. He knows 10 different ways of making it out of the cube. He regularly tries to pass himself off as a 13-year-old girl. In Oregon, he's known as the Portland Peeper. He's still lost in his dreams right now. And in high school, he was known as the kid banned from the shower room. It's our resident Captain Creep, Mike. He has a set of chains and shackles connected to his bed that he claims is only used on full moon. And with me is Jeff and Mike. Together, they make up the 80s tribute band Gaggle of Geese, where they mash together legendary 80s bands Flock of Seagulls, and Styx. And with me always are two unlikely contestants for America's Next Top Model, Mike and Jeff. He really is this week's creepy dad, because my son hasn't figured out that I'm a creep yet. I've just discovered that he is my afterlife partner for eternity, which really makes me depressed right now. He's currently going through an identity crisis. Right now, he thinks he's Jack the Ripper.
And with me are the two running mates for the Donner Party. It's Mike and Jeff.
We're not sure whether or not he's actually psycho, but he does certainly take a lot of psychedelics. In Brazil, he's known as Bait. He's starring in this weekend's off-Broadway production of It. He plays the inhaler. And with me this week is a very special guest host, should I say. And his name is Mr. J.P. Bosgett. He knows drawing the dead, like I know the toys, chained face down to my bed. And with me, fresh from their Olympic defeat in men's synchronized spirit fingering, it's Jeff and Mike. They like to spend their weekends playing a game they call cat and mouse. If by cat you mean black windowless van they drive around at night in. And if by mouse you mean the unsuspecting victims they stalk and eventually turn into play toys. And with me, fresh off their latest tranny tour, it's Jeff and Mike.
And with me, as always, is my co-host Jason, a man who once was a newt.
And with me always is Jeff. He really is a rat face. I'm not going to say the last word. It's just not polite. Together, they own a brand new sandwich shop called Chicks Get Laid. But for some reason, only men come out of there. And I didn't prepare to come up with an insult for Jeff. He's still just that despicable that sometimes words can't even express it. He's like that 80s song you can't get out of your head until it slowly drives you insane. So you try killing yourself by drinking a bottle of hand sanitizer, but ultimately fail and end up locked in a padded room, never to be released.
And with me are two guys that seem to have way too much fun with a turkey baster.
Mike has just finished his new one-man play, All the President's Men. It's basically him standing naked on stage, talking to the voices in his head, and an empty chair. Critics say it's his best work yet.
Come see it. Tip your waitress.
Yeah. And with me this evening is not Jason. Jason only wishes he looked as good or sounded as provocative. That was far better than I expected when I said montages.
Okay, are we done now?
I figured, you know what? I'm just going to throw everything in. Just throw it all in and,
see where it lands.
So, hey, I want to welcome everybody to the Creepercast 2013. Like an airplane to a starship, we have returned.
Yes, we have. And we're going to rock this city.
I'm glad you got the reference.
it's because before the show you were talking about your acid trip days and you're following the Doobie Brothers around and everything. So I figured you were sticking with the theme there.
Oh, you got to love Pandora and typing in early 80s while you're editing and doing stuff.
Yes.
All right.
In the meantime,
on the podcast, to get a hold of us, give us a call at 503-454-6941. Email us at feedback@creepercast.com. Follow us on Google Plus at creepercast.com/G+. We still have the iTunes sweepstakes going on at creepercast.com/iTunes and creepercast.com/TWDiTunes. If you don't know what that is, Jeff will be more than happy to explain it.
So what are we talking about again?
The iTunes giveaway. You know,
the iTunes giveaway is where you can leave us a review at either of those two places Jason told you to go to. And as soon as we have 25 on each one, we will draw a name out of Jason's proverbial hat. It's still proverbial. I don't know how what makes it proverbial, but that's what he keeps calling it. So we'll just go with it. And the person that we draw from each of the two sets of 25 gets a pick of something out of our Creepercast swag store.
That's right. And don't forget,
however, there's a new twist to this. The 26th person to leave a review, I start stalking them.
So you better get on there quick, guys. Because trust
remember
me,
remember to stop at 25.
Yes, yeah, so if you see 25, don't go anymore. Or maybe I will, because you know what? I like stalkers.
And he likes Mike. So.
And I like Mike.
Everybody likes Mike.
It's true. It's
you
true.
Know, I've never really had a true stalker. Like I had like people that would kind of like stalk me a little bit when I was on the radio, but that was just like harassing.
Oh, those are always the creepiest.
But
man.
But they were just like leave me messages and stuff, you know, at the radio station. I never like had a true stalker that like followed me around, and I never had like a girlfriend that I dumped that, you know, became obsessed with me or anything.
Well, yeah, never had anybody on the Creepercast that would listen to you and then send you a clip about all your laughing either, right?
No. I mean, you know, it was nothing like this.
Yeah, we know it's Michonne. Yes, we do. It's Michonne.
But
oh, that happens. That's true. Yeah.
Yep.
That was a good one. And you know what? The thing that I don't get is I would want... That's awesome.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I think they were trying to send you a message, Jeff.
To stop laughing or to stop fake laughing or something to that effect. Or they're stalking me.
So, Mike, tell me about your stalkers.
Well, I worked in radio, too. You guys know that. And there was this one chick. I was fresh into the radio business. And every one of the DJs, like, don't talk to this girl. You know, she calls, answer the phone, take a request, move on. Well, you know, I'm like, it can't be that bad. And next thing I know, you know, me being polite and, like I said, new to the business and not knowing any better. And, of course, ignoring the advice of my fellow DJs who had much more experience than I did, I started talking to her. Yeah, because I worked overnight, so I was bored. I was lonely. Yes, that's true. It's very true. You know, despite the fact I've been married. Or am not been married. I am. Jen is still with us. Jen
Your current alive. Wife.
Current. Damn. Anyways, so I started talking to this girl, and next thing you know, she's calling like literally every night that I'm on the air. She starts coming up to the radio station, and of course, you know, after you know like 5 o'clock, we're not supposed to have anybody in there. And I'm just like, no, you can't come in. And I'd start getting cards and, you know, it was just like, okay, this is a little disturbing. And of course, you know, not to stereotype, but she was not of the attractive variety, which, you know.
So if she was attractive, then the stalking would have been okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Megan Fox was stalking me, I think I could live with that.
Hmm. Yeah. No. Something you know, not quite that far. Kind of was with me where basically you know it was the same girl that kept calling every time I was DJing that night, and I kind of did the same thing. You know, for the first while, you know, I was being very nice and polite and kind of flirtatious, and then. I was trying to very subtly tell her to stop. And then when I started getting really brash with her, that's when she started like sending letters to me, to my office and stuff. And then she never found out my real name because I used my pseudonym, Rob Bautel. So that's, you know, kind of where it ended. But, you know, she did call my bosses and try to get me fired and stuff like that. But
yeah, yeah. See, because it escalated, and I went by a pseudonym as well, and somehow, and I think it was one of our interns or whatever actually gave this chick my real name. So it escalated to the point where she started calling me at home, and it got to the point where you know, just to the point where I was going to start looking into the whole. You know, restraining order kind of thing. And I don't know what, I think we got another new DJ and she kind of transferred her fixation on. It was like whoever the new guy was.
Well, they were the easiest one is right. What it because by once you like fall for the trap, that's why everyone was warning you is because they already fell for it.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was saying. I totally ignored them. And now being older and wiser, you know, if I ever get back into radio, you know, you know, it's like, hi, thanks for calling. What's your request? Thank you. Have a good night.
See, you know, the other thing that drove me nuts though, when I was on the radio is I was on a top 40 station at one point where we took requests. I was also on a country station, which I didn't like, but, top 40. But the thing is they played the same, like five songs all the time. So, and people would still request them. So, yeah. You know, they call, hi, I'd like to hear Britney Spears' new song. Oh, okay, yeah, we'll get that on right for you. And then, you know, basically, and, you know, 45 minutes later when it was in the rotation anyway, you just play that sound clip right before.
Oh, yeah. What I loved is the, and I don't know how much of it was what we would consider trolling nowadays, people being jerks or whatever, but I would get calls for, again, you know, like what you were saying, worked in a top 40 station. So it was, you know, Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Especially late 90s.
Yeah, because that's when I, you know, it was mid to late 90s is when I worked in the station, and I'd get people calling in for, like, Tupac. I'm like, dude, have you ever listened to our radio station?
Yeah, you know, I've had people do that with me, you know, calling in for Korn or something like that. I'm like, you don't know what Top 40 is, do you?
And, of course, you know, like I said, this was in northern Michigan, farther north than even where you're at. You know, it was up in the Charlevoix area. So we were pretty conservative, and even in the stuff that we would play, you know, just because of the audience and the community. And then, of course, you know, we were also sometimes 6 months behind other radio stations in major metropolitan areas. So,
yeah.
Well, just to make you both feel better, I'm going to make sure, because this is technically radio, so to speak, I'm going to make sure that you both get a chance at earning stalkers. So, Jason's address is...
Here's the thing. You have, in order to be a true stalker, you have to find out on your own.
That right, exactly.
We can't just tell you it, so... if you want to be my
but it
stalker,
is in Michigan.
Yes, it is in Michigan. If you want to be my stalker, though, Jeff has to vet you first. So go to Jeff. Once he gives the okay, then he'll give you my address, and you're allowed to stalk me, and my phone number, and email.
I think we've all been smart enough that we actually have. Well, no, they know my last name. Damn.
No, actually, they know all of our last names.
Yeah, I put my last name on yeah. everything. So.
I'm not that worried about it. But in case you didn't figure it out, this is the episode where we talk about getting stalkers and our radio experience. No, this is the best worst episode where we get to talk about some of the best things that's happened in the last year, some of which you heard at the beginning, and some of the worst things that happened this year, like many of Jason's insults, which you heard at the beginning.
So tell me, Jeff.
I especially like the cube one, though, because that wasn't actually an insult, and not many people get the cube. So
we got to talk about The Cube at some point, because that is a great series of movies.
See, and I've only seen the first one. I started to watch, what was the second
Hypercube.
One? The Hypercube?
Yeah.
That was the second one? With the, wasn't that the one with the guy from Forever Night in it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I've only seen parts of that one. And I know there's at least, what, a third one, Cube Zero or something?
Yeah, I think there was like three or four of them altogether. I'm sure Jeff will look it up for us.
There was three or four.
But
we will have a cube day.
A cube
I'm actually surprised you guys, you know, because you were
cube
doing this.
Cubed.
you know, for what, a good year and a half before I joined this. I'm surprised you guys didn't get to the cube yet.
Do you know how many movies that I, like, just looking back, trying to figure out how many movies we actually talked about, because even before you got on, we were doing three movies an episode,
right?
And you came on on episode what, 70 something,
something like that.
Yeah, and so figure 3 times 70. I mean, that's a lot of movies that we talked about.
Yeah, by the time we cut back to two, and then of course we were doing, you know, like top listings, and so sometimes we do like 10 episodes or 10 movies in one show, and
yeah, top 10s and everything. So I mean, the cube didn't get in there. It just, you know, it just didn't.
Well, and even in some of our lists, like what we did a couple weeks ago, or you know, a couple months ago when we did the Thanksgiving episode, we didn't really go into a lot of actual reviews of our top fives unless we had already reviewed them. But like, right. You know, we didn't as far as I know, well, no, I know we didn't actually do a full review of Cabin in the Woods or Fright Night or The Thing.
It was our opportunity. Well, and that was just it was basically our opportunity to talk about the ones that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet. And it also helps me design a list for later.
Right. And that's what I think. That's what I liked about that particular episode was, you know, even though like Jason's list consisted of most movies that we had already reviewed, it gave us, you know, an opportunity to, like in my case, I pretty much drew from stuff that we hadn't talked about on the show, but those were the movies that I liked. And, you know, so mm-hmm. like you said, it gives you an idea. Okay, well, we can talk about this at a later date. So
for sure.
So one of the nice things about putting every movie that we review on our CreeperCast website is that I can tell you exactly how many movies we've reviewed, and it was 191.
That's a lot of movies. It's in about 2.5 years. Yeah.
So almost 200 movies in 2 years.
And the really great part of it is because of the genre of films we talk about, and we do like to, and we don't mind spreading out and talking about things that might not necessarily fit the niche, we're never going to run out.
Right, because we still have Cube.
Yeah, we still have Cube.
Well, there's actually, we have
Cube Zero, and we have Cube the TV episode, and we have
Cube Cubed.
Yeah. I'm surprised I haven't actually made that yet. But I actually have a book that I grabbed years ago. I think it was when we were all in school and we were doing the horror movie film classes. I want to say it's like 101 horror movies you've never seen. But like with everything else, it's in a box. But now that I'm thinking about it, I'll have to dig that out and see if we can come up, see if that gives us some ideas to go with.
Okay. Indeed. That sounds great. I like it. Yeah, a lot of stuff, though, that we talked about. Obviously, right at the beginning of the season, when does our season actually start? I always say March. March-ish is when our season starts.
I started us with this. With this in particular, I started us with February. I actually think February is the best place for us because that's usually where we start getting into some really good stuff.
Okay.
It usually starts off around February, and in last year in particular – I mean, that's really when we got hit with some, I mean, the good stuff just kept on coming.
Right, exactly. And normally about March is when I always try to update the website and reformat and rebrand us a little bit. So change things up a little bit. But of course, in February, we had one of our, even still, I'm still shocked and amazed and in awe of the fact that we had Mr. Barry Bostwick on the show. And he came to join us. This was, in my opinion, a best and worst. This is a love-hate relationship with this episode because I listen to it now and I cringe at how much we have actually learned since talking with him on how to.
We were like all over the place, and we were trying to do everything in order,
right?
And do like a whole actor studio, like you talked about with Bill.
Right, exactly, and so we didn't really know. And of course, the reason that we had him on is because he was in Jack Perez and Ryan Levin's Some Guy Who Kills People. And that was the reason we had him on, is we wanted to talk about that movie. But for some reason, I'm going to blame you, Jeff, we went in chronological order of his life.
Wow, I'm not sure. I'm sorry I missed that.
And well, it was partly your fault. I mean, you created this like this awesome intro that was like 5 minutes long that went from his from the day he was born to Some Guy Who Kills People. So.
Yes. And I know you want me to play it, but when you sent
the whole thing. Not
when you sent
thing.
It to me, it didn't come through well. So if you give a little bit of time, I can. You know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pause the recording real quick. I'm going to find it, and then we'll play it. How's that sound?
Okay, we don't have to play the whole thing.
Okay. And we're back. All right, so here is our intro for Mr. Barry Bostwick.
He's been a defense attorney on Law & Order SVU, a washed-up magician on Supernatural, and a cancer patient on Scrubs. And on this podcast, he's got our love and adoration as Sheriff Walt Fuller.
This thing has no head, honey.
I know, sir.
Both bodies have a head.
Absolutely.
What does this thing have?
Not sure yet, sir.
Oh, we can find this head.
Good idea, sir.
On a film Jeff and I talk constantly about, Some Guy Who Kills People, written and directed by our good friends Ryan Levin and Jack Perez. If you haven't figured it out by now,
I'm Barry Bostwick.
I'm talking about the one and only Barry Bostwick.
Who is Barry Bostwick?
Well, I want to tell you that we have him on the podcast right now. Barry, I hope that was a good enough intro for you.
You know, I have to say, I haven't heard anything that good about me since I was talking about me this afternoon.
Well, I'm glad that I can do almost as good as you.
Yeah, no, that was really good. That was you found dialogue in.
Okay, that's enough. But so
in case you couldn't tell, we're really proud of the fact that we had Barry Bostwick on.
We are. Like I said, if I had to do it all over again, and hopefully we can get him back on the podcast, definitely I would reformat how we talk to him, because we were still learning. We were young, shall we say. Right now,
we've matured a lot in the last year.
We have. We went from infants to now we're, you know, kind of toddlers in interviewing people.
Is that why you're still wearing the diapers? I mean,
well, that's just because I like it. Yeah. It makes things easy.
It's comfy.
Sometimes.
And sometimes it's not.
And it's fun to have someone else change you.
All right. Yes, we would definitely.
That is weird.
We definitely do need to have Barry on again, though, especially since I finally watched my copy of FDR, American Badass.
Yes. How'd you like it?
It's definitely hilarious. I mean, I am one of those that after about the first half hour or so, I get, you know, a little bored of the dick and pussy jokes. But it is full of those. And Barry, of course, is like very... Yeah, he's FDR, yeah. I'm sure.
So
Kevin Sorbo is no Abraham Lincoln, though.
All right. Then a little bit later, we had our next big guest, which was Gary Striner.
Yeah.
And Gary Striner, he's from Night of the Living Dead. And we talked about a lot about Night of the Living Dead and Save the Chapel.
Mm-hmm. He was a very good sport about the Night of the Living Dead stuff, because we drilled him.
We did. And I really should have pulled out clips. I didn't prepare with clips like I wanted to. But, oh, man, some of the stuff. You got to go back and listen to episode 63 and 64, because I love when you asked him about whether zombies should walk or run. And he frankly said,
who the fuck cares?
Exactly. It was great. I mean,
but he gave a lot of background and everything that, I mean, we've both taken classes where, and I think Mike, you did too, where you talked about Night of the Living Dead, and he basically told us that some of the stuff we were taught was wrong.
Exactly. You know, one of the main themes of Night of the Living Dead that everybody believes is that it was a commentary on racism. And as he put it, he goes, this wasn't a commentary on anything. This was a bunch of us wanting to go out to make a horror film. He goes, whether he was white, black, or otherwise, we just put him in there because he was the best person that auditioned for the role.
So definitely listen to it if you want to know more about Gary Striner and the true Night of the Living Dead background.
Yes. Nick Everhart, we had him on after that, almost immediately after.
Yeah, it was like we were like getting reviews left and right during this time period. It was like the middle of the year, especially. We were like getting tons of stuff. Nick was ready to go that in March, I believe, right?
Yeah, March 7th, episode 65, we had Nick Everhart on, who was from the Asylum, and he was also working on the Penny Dreadful Picture Show.
Which should be out really soon. I'm waiting to hear back from him on that one.
If you look at the IMDb on that, it's the people that are involved in it is amazing and great.
Yes, we want most of them on the show someday.
Yes, we do.
Especially, I'm a big into. I really want to get Lee on the show. He calls himself Baron Leon on Facebook, but I want to get him on the show eventually, because this guy has done everything as far as Asylum Horrors, and he's making Asylum Horrors look far better than anything Asylum has looked like before. In fact, Nick kind of gave us a little inside on dealing with the Asylum.
Yeah, Sid Haig is in it. Jeffrey Combs, Eliza Swenson, who's been in a couple of his shorts and stuff and is an amazing actress. I mean, the cast is great. I love it. And talking to him was fun. We have a clip that you had me pull.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a clip of Nick Everhart.
None of the films that I have worked on were by choice, with the exception of Slash in the Box and The Stout, which are my two latest productions. Everything else that I've ever worked on was someone else initiating it and then me jumping on board. So The Asylum is really to they get the credit for doing the apocalyptic thing. And I think it really became, you know, they really tune their movies and what they produce based on what their buyers want. And they have, you know, very big buyers in Japan, in Germany, and a couple of other European countries. But I think the Apocalypse was the first one. And I think it was a Japanese buyer that said, oh, we want, you know, a giant media movie to come and we sell this. And combined with, they were also trying to get into, they had met up with a Christian bookstore that wanted Christian movies. So they said, oh, we're going to create a new label called Faith Films, and we'll do a apocalypse movie with a giant asteroid for the Japanese that also has a Jesus message for the Christian bookstores. Trying to appease two different people, they kind of fell in somewhere in the middle and didn't make either one entirely happy. And it was the same kind of thing. Like, I was just there being at the asylum. You know, the conditions are pretty rough, and the turnover because of that is very high. So it's sort of like an endurance test. And basically, if you stick around and endure the torture, they kind of just give you the keys, keys to the kingdom. So I said, oh, hey, Nick, how about you want to direct this? And I was like, oh, man, I don't even like this script. I wrote it like 5 days. It's garbage. all right, whatever. It's a chance to direct and, you know.
So, Mike, whenever we tell you that you have to put Asylum at a different level than everything else,
yeah,
this is one of the reasons why.
Now, speaking of the Asylum, and I'm glad that you brought this up, because I was going to bring it up when we were talking with Bill, or talking about when we talked with Bill. There's a great article in this week's Entertainment Weekly dealing with not just the Asylum, but another group, and they're talking about what we've talked about, the fact that the Asylum puts out the, what we're calling the mockbusters.
Right.
You know, they try and put them out before the big screen version, you know, and the big article, the big point that they were trying to make in this is the big companies now, like Paramount and what have you, are actually going to the extreme now where they're suing. They're doing litigation against companies like the Asylum because the Asylum was trying to put out a movie called The Age of the Hobbits, and they had a release date of 3 days before, you know, Peter Jackson's The Hobbit.
The Hobbit, yes.
And of course, you know, if you look at their titles, you know, they've got Transmorphers, which is obviously a takeoff on Transformers, and, you know, Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies as opposed to Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. You know, we all know what they are. And the comments that they're getting from, and I'm trying to find the guy's name, some guy named Bales. I don't know if he works for the Asylum, and he's basically, he thinks it's great that they're getting sued. Because it's more publicity for
them.
Yeah,
it's drawing more attention
to them. It's drawing more attention, and I can't imagine them losing that.
Well, and the funny thing, reading this article, they were talking about how the big companies are saying, well, we don't want to confuse the audience and have them go to the wrong thing or pick up the wrong thing. And this guy from the Asylum goes, you know, I'm pretty sure the audience knows what they're getting when they grab – you know, Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies as opposed to, you know, the
Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they know they're grabbing something that they can pick up, take home, not think about, and drop it back off and, you know, not do a lot of thinking or whatever. And
most of their stuff are not theatrical releases. So, I mean, you know, when you're looking at The Hobbit.
It's usually straight to DVD.
Yeah. So when you're looking at The Hobbit coming out on theater in, you know, 48 frames a second, 3D IMAX, and you go to the, you know, your local Blockbuster, and you go, oh, you know, Rise of the Hobbit or whatever it's called. And
Age of the Hobbits.
Age of the Hobbits. Of course you're not going to think it's the same thing.
I would hope.
Well, and he actually did mention that, and I wish I had highlighted the quote, but it was basically the young and the old, the very young and the very old, that would actually make that mistake.
Boo-hoo to them.
Yeah. Well, and it's all of it, and it's all in good competition too. I mean, it's not – the only time I've ever seen it being a real problem was when Dante's Inferno and what was that other one came out? That was the only time Dante, that I saw.
You mean Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Yeah, when those two came out, I could see when there was a, you know, that it was hard to distinguish between the two because one had James Bond in it and the other one didn't. But but most of the time, I mean, we know that if you're grabbing it on DVD at the same time as a movie with a similar concept is in the theaters, then it's probably not that movie that's in the theaters.
Right.
And actually the quote here, Bale says, if there's confusion, it's among old people and the stupid people.
Well, the other thing to think about too is, I mean, it's not like they're just putting an S on it and call it Hobbits.
Yeah.
The Hobbits. Well,
they actually did that with one, and I'm not sure if it was the Asylum or the other group that they were talking about, but they have the movie Brave, the Pixar.
Oh, yes. I have that for my son.
Yeah. My wife made me buy it for her. But they came out with a movie called Braver.
Braver.
So, you know.
Well, or you could go down the porn route. I mean, why not sue porn for Saving Ryan's Privates?
I mean, what's the difference, really? Because Asylum films are basically, you know, B-horror porn, if you think about it, in comparison. Right. So,
I mean, they're not porn, but still.
Right.
You know, but yeah, exactly. It's the same difference. So. All right. Thank you for that, Mike.
I thought it was interesting that I came across this article.
All right. Speaking of porn.
You guys keep telling me, you know, that Asylum is good, and
I still love Asylum. It's a guilty pleasure.
Yes.
Speaking of
guilty pleasures and really good films.
Well, I want to talk about next is 2012 was Jeff your start to the Zombie 101 lessons.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell people about why you started that?
I actually started that because I got into a discussion with a friend once who wasn't really into zombie films at the time and was asking me, okay, where should I begin? And so I immediately went to Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead, the remake, and things like that, and was trying to put together this idea. Plus, I was talking to some professors at a local university about, you know, how come we don't have specialized genre film classes or subgenre in this case, where you can talk about the origination of zombies and work your way up to modern zombies. Because as we've talked about on the show, there's a lot of growth that's happening, some that we agree with, some that we don't. Things that we constantly argue about. We've had people on the show to argue some of these things with us and with our constant covering of The Walking Dead Week in Review. It makes it, you know, I figured it was time to set a standard for what we should look at as the quintessential zombie films. And that's pretty much what we were doing, is talking about those.
Yeah. And so, of course, we started off with the first type of zombies, which is voodoo zombies. And then we did Lesson 2, Rise of the Flesh Eaters. And then where we talked about Night of the Living Dead, Zombie 2, where he fights a shark. And Dead Alive, a.k.a. Brain Dead, Peter Jackson, by the way. And then we moved on and to some of the other stuff that I think we're up to, what, five now?
Actually, I think we hit seven now.
The
next time around, yeah, we're going to be getting into more of the humor aspect of zombie films. The next time we talk about zombies is going to be Shaun of the Dead and Dance of the Dead. So we're into more of a humorous aspect. And then we'll work on the actual post-apocalyptic in order to wrap things up.
All right. I like that. And then as we were talking about porn, we did,
you notice how that comes up a lot since I've joined the show?
Well, what was it? Back in 2011, we talked about a film.
A zombie Western.
We equated, it's like, wow, it's kind of like a porn version, you know, like how porn does it, like we talked about, to regular movies. Right. And that's what they did. They just added zombies. And so we had the title, a.k.a. zombie porn. Well, in episode 69, well, that was our number one search term on Google. We were getting more hits per day, and we were ranked number one in Google for quite a few months. Because we had the name zombie porn in the title. So just to do a test, episode 69, which is Full Moon Fever, where we talked about the Howling, Dog Soldiers, and the Wolfman, we put a.k.a. werewolf porn. And again, tons of hits. So my tip to anybody, if you have a blog or anything, put the word porn at the end. It doesn't matter what it is, put the word porn.
Because apparently people like zombie porn and werewolf porn and pretty much anything porn.
Yes.
Porn is good.
And so
but don't deliver, of course. Don't deliver. Actually, you know, have some good quality content like we do.
Yes. Episode 70. This is when we were really hitting our stride with interviewing people. We had one of my favorite and probably one of the most knowledgeable people. This guy could teach film classes at UCLA on horror films, Mr. Scott Glosserman.
Oh, definitely.
Who is the writer, producer, director of Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, and is still working on getting Before the Mask, The Return of Leslie Vernon made.
Yes, the prequel sequel.
The prequel sequel. And that had to have been one of my all-time favorite discussions just because the guy was so knowledgeable.
Oh, yeah, he knew his stuff. The guy was amazing. And then, of course, was fun to talk to on top of it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he was a great guest. And that's actually the point where we quit. I mean, obviously, we didn't really have a body of work to go with other than, his, you know, he's worked in documentary films. And so we just kind of like let ourselves go. And then that was the standard we did for every review after that, is instead of attacking every film they make, we just discuss their whole entire body of work.
Right, exactly. Where, you know, we kind of have a couple questions that, you know, if in case we hit a lull. But beyond that, it's just a conversation. And I think that worked better.
Yes, especially with him, because he was really fun. And then, of course, the next people that we talked to afterwards, it's always worked great.
Right. The very next episode was your first episode without me. And that would be episode 71, Women in Peril, where you talked about The Silent House 2010, Silent House 2011, and The Woman. And you had on a guest, Loves Dragons, who is a fan of the show. And I think it turned out great for me.
It was a great discussion. I mean, it was the first time when where I had to do, you know, where I felt that I was actually fully taking the reins, because usually I sit back and you drive everything, you drive our discussions and such, and I'm usually there to say the stupid comments and things like that. But this was the first time where I had to pretty much take the reins, and I had Loves join me because we were talking about, you know, films with female protagonists. So I thought she would be, you know, being female, I thought she would be a great addition to it. And we had some really good discussion.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. Then going a little bit further, we had episode 73, The Guy Next Door, a.k.a. Psycho Porn. We're still sticking with that porn. I think we stopped it after that.
Yeah, I got bored with putting porn at the end of everything. Although the Psycho Porn episode was, you know, there really was some Psycho Porn in it. I mean, American Psycho had Psycho Porn in it.
Yeah, so. It did. And it really had that one creepy scene with the prostitutes.
Yeah.
All right. And then episode 74, Dream Seeking with Peter Dukes. This is where we got our first introduction to Bill Oberst Jr.
Yes, who is now a fantastic friend of the show, a guy that we probably, I don't know how we got along without.
I know. And you know what's funny is he actually chats with me every now and then on Facebook. I'll be on Facebook and out of nowhere, you know, he's like in the middle of shooting something and he's got a little lull going on. And he's on his phone, you know, hits me up asking me how things are going and what's going on. And I mean, it's great. It's one of them that he's become such a good friend of the show that it feels like he's been on with us forever.
Yeah, it just seems weird. I have more stories to tell about Bill when we actually get to him because he's coming up. But in this one, we were actually talking about Peter Dukes, who introduced us to Bill by asking us to take a look at one of his short films, The Beast. Fantastic film. I asked him to join the show because he's really into the horror fantasy genre, and it's all short films, so it's like very,
and
you know,
and you go through and you watch Dream Seekers Productions and the stuff that he's able to do with short films on such a small budget. I mean, the man is a genius.
Oh, definitely.
And
he has a new one he's working on that I'm waiting for, you know, to hear back about. He's been working on for a couple months now. So
all right, episode 75 is one that this was for your birthday.
Yes, because I get to arrange the shows and I'm a sick, twisted person.
And you had us watch The Human Centipede 2. Antichrist, and probably the absolute most disturbing film I have ever watched, where you actually told me, don't watch this.
Yeah, I actually tried to talk you out of it, and then you were like, well, now I want to watch it.
I know. Because... it's like one of them, you know, when they tell you not to touch something hot.
Yeah, you're like, don't push that button.
Yeah, don't push that button. Then the whole time you're like, why not? I got to see what happens. And so I'm like, I got to watch this movie. And now I think it changed me forever. A Serbian film is one of the strangest film. It's the only film I know of that has newborn rape.
Yeah.
It is definitely not for the faint of heart. And we've watched some pretty sick stuff on here.
Yes, we do.
And a Serbian film, even for the actual little amount of nudity that it has in it.
And a lot of the stuff you're talking about, like the infant sex was, or the baby sex or whatever, was implied. It wasn't actually shown.
Yeah, it was implied. It wasn't shown. And for the stuff that's in it, just the way that they shot it, the way it was done, it actually, at the end of the film, I was frozen. I couldn't... I had no idea what I actually watched, and I wasn't sure if it was a bad dream or something, or, you know, if I took some of that, you know, crazy stuff that you gave me, but...
The bath salts, yeah. Oh. Yeah. You wanted to eat a face?
Yes. Yeah. It was definitely not good, but it was a good episode, so that was... episode 75, where we talk about that stuff and why Jeff is now so screwed up.
And now we know. And for future reference for both of you, if you would like to have a show dedicated to your birthday, let me know.
All right. I want to.
Now you say it. My birthday was over a month ago.
All right. I want to talk. Jump ahead to episode 78, halfway to the end of the world.
Again.
And the reason I want to talk about this is because this is when Mike finally joined us. We talk about 11-11-11, which was an asylum film, Skyline, and Panic in Year Zero, which was actually a great film that came out. I mean, the thing is, from 1962, it's got Frankie Avalon in it, and it's great for what
the
it
singer.
Is.
Well, and I think that aside from, you know, the awesomeness that is me joining the show, I just thought it was interesting that we all agreed that, you know, this movie from before any of us were born, except for maybe Jeff, was a good flick.
Yeah, and especially for not being something, you know, it's post-apocalyptic, but it's kind of like the Disney version of the apocalypse.
Right.
So, I mean, the themes and everything that we still talk about with zombies and everything post-apocalyptic were still in here, which is great, and I loved it. And, of course, having you on for the first time was great and talking about it. And that's when we kind of started your me and Jeff giving things fours and fives and you giving them ones and twos. Where we later moved to it sucked or it didn't completely suck.
Right. And do we even have a rating system anymore?
I do, because I get my little stabs. Episode 80 is when I had Jay Fosgate on. J.P. Fosgate, who is the creator of the Dead Duck comics and the Necronomicon comics in Rue Morgue magazine. And he came on and we discussed slasher films of the 80s. We each gave our top 10 and a lot of crossover. And it was just an amazing episode to have him on. We talked about Intruder, Prom Night, Sleepaway Camp, Silent Night, Deadly Night, My Bloody Valentine, just a ton of stuff. I mean, talking to him, the guy knows his shit when it comes to... I'm going to have to put explicit on this episode. Knows his stuff when it comes to horror films. And I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. Coming up for our next, when I redo our logo and stuff, he is going to turn all of us into bad guys from horror movies.
I'm looking forward to it.
So into monsters. It'll be great. He's already picked out that I'm going to be a Cenobite.
Oh, man.
So
I want to be a Cenobite.
Wonder, do you think maybe we should all be Cenobites?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to push him to do something he doesn't want to do, you know, but, you know, maybe he could drop a couple different versions, you know, one for each of us individually, you know, you as a Cenobite, me as whatever, Jeff as something else, excuse me, and then maybe like a group thing where all three of us are Cenobites.
Mm, okay. I'll talk to him and see.
Yeah, you're the one that talks to him, so, you know,
yeah.
You know, see what he wants. Like I said, I mean, it's the same thing when we have other guests. You know, you don't want to pressure them to doing something they don't want to talk about or, you know, whatever. If he's busy doing other stuff, you know, whatever's easiest for him.
Right. Episode 88 is when we had our good friend Bill Oberst Jr. on. And talking with him has now become one of just a great relationship for us at the CreeperCast. Bill is such a awesome dude. I mean, not just as an actor in filmmaking. I mean, he's a great actor. The man is probably one of the hardest working people in show business, but also, you know, just as a normal guy, great relationship, great friendship. I mean, like I said, he, you know, will Facebook me. I'm sure if I gave him my number, he would text me. I mean, he's that good of a guy.
I see his posts online, but I don't know if we're actually like friends on Facebook.
Yeah, I was waiting for Jeff to jump in, and I realized that he somehow got booted off of Skype.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt.
Where are you?
We're talking about Bill.
Oh, nice.
Are we going to play some yet? Bill clips? Do we have Bill clips?
We do have some Bill clips. So let me play some of these clips. So we'll play clip number one. I'm so excited to finally introduce our guest. Are you?
So am I. Okay. Oh, yes, definitely.
All right. Today on the podcast, we have Mr. Bill Oberst Jr. If acting chops were pork chops, I'd eat him with a slice of bread and butter.
Okay, I'm going to steal that. I hope you don't mind.
Okay.
It's really, you guys. So, in this introduction, like, it's all highbrow. And, oh, he played JFK. And, you know, he played Jesus. And he was in these Hallmark movies. And I was like, wow, they're really highbrow on me. Then you got to go mention nude nuns with big guns. Yeah. You had to do it. You couldn't let it go.
Oh, come on. That is that is one of the quintessential films of our generation.
And you can't be highbrow forever. I mean, come on.
It was when Take This Lollipop won an Emmy, somebody wrote and they said, Take This Lollipop stars Bill Oberst Jr., who also plays a role in the inexplicably Oscarless Nude Nuns with Big Guns. I thought that was well put.
Yes.
Very well put.
We have two more clips. Jeff, do you want me to play the clips or do you want to introduce them? Clip two and clip three from Bill?
With the clip two is obviously because we were discussing with him that he has a very unique torso.
Yes.
And if you look him up on the internet, you'll see what we're talking about. Or you can listen to us talk about it and then look it up. Go ahead and play.
It's funny you mentioned Bale, because about 6 months ago, I got a message from a woman in the UK. And she said, I just watched this television show. And it was about Christian Bale and The Machinist. And they showed his torso. And it was your torso. And it was. I watched the clip. And sure enough, they were saying, Bale underwent a shocking weight loss for his role in The Machinist. And then they show this black and white picture of my torso. Now, if you Google Christian Bale creepy torso, my picture is right up there. And now if you Google creepy torso actor, I am the first page of results. Let's see. Let's try this. Creepy torso actor. Whoever uses the word torso?
I don't
damn
know.
It. I still the whole first page is me.
Yeah, including all of the images.
Let me look at the images. 1, 2, 3, that's me. Skip down. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm going to stop counting. Anyway, I have no idea what happened. I went from fat to creepy. So I've never had like the normal, hey, you look okay. It's always been like, geez, you're fat. Or, oh my God, you're creepy. So I've never had the in-between.
Well, in Wikipedia, I was reading that you're actually known for having a long torso, you know, for somebody your size.
That's very bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what would cause a person to be born with an abnormally long torso? What was my mother eating? I don't know.
But think about it. It helps you out now. Because now you have that creepy torso and, you know, probably get some jobs out of it.
I really do. I really do. In fact, take this lollipop. I went into the audition, and I did the audition, and the director, Jason Zada, he's a commercial director. He wanted really, really, like, he kept saying, go deep, go deep. And I wasn't getting what he wanted. And so he looked me up online, and he sees the creepy torso shit. And he says, okay, do this. He says, we're not going to shoot it this way, but take your shirt off and pretend you're this pervert in your mother's basement. And so it was so uncomfortable and so creepy that instantly I just fell down into the creep and got the role, and I won an Emmy. So my creepy torso won me an Emmy.
How many people can say that their creepy torso won them an Emmy?
Just him, as far as I know.
Just Bill.
All right. Before I go to the next one, Jeff, you said you had a few things to talk about him.
Oh, I was going to mention a few things about Bill because I do have conversations with him on and off again too. That's one of the things that's great about the guy is that he definitely he believes in his people, and that's one of the reasons why we believe in him. And he's quite a person to make you feel like what you're doing is good, because he's given us lots of, you know, incentive to continue. He's a guy that you end up looking up to and such. But the couple of the stories that I had was actually this Christmas. Loves, my girlfriend, contacted Bill and had said something to the effect of that she just wanted, you know, some little item from him because she was going to give it to me for Christmas. And what he sent was one of those 7 ears.
Oh, yes, that the CreeperCast has also. Yes.
Okay,
right,
so now everybody's got an ear but me. Nice.
You're Van Gogh right now.
Well, this was like I had no knowledge of this. But not only did he send me the 7 ear, but I also have his zombie picture.
Oh,
autographed,
that's awesome.
And I have his Abraham Lincoln picture autographed.
I was saying, if you said you had his scythe, I was going to come down there.
No, that's the thing, is that I was kind of looking at the picture going, well, I did ask for the scythe, and it is a picture of him, and you're looking up the scythe. So technically, I got the scythe, right?
Yes.
But anyway, on top of that, Bill also made mention in the episode that we, you know, the many times we had talked to him, that if we ever had anything for him, as far as script writing was concerned, because Jason and I have talked about that we are continually writing stuff when we have time to work together on it. And just out of a whim, I like in the last 3 months threw something together and emailed it to him. Like I said, just on a whim. And apparently he fell in love with it.
Really?
It's the one that I actually asked you about.
Oh yes.
To read if you got a chance.
Yes.
He actually fell in love with it. It's actually a story that was written by my father that I adapted to about a 20-minute screenplay. And he said he loves the idea. We're also working on his whole one-man show that he wants to go on tour with in the spring. I've been sending him, you know, contact places for here in New Mexico. And we've discussed that if we can make that happen, then maybe we can shoot the short at the same, you know, within the same time period, which would be awesome. But this is all tentatives. You know, we're still trying to schedule it. Bill's a very busy guy.
I think he has like 30 projects probably lined up for 2013 alone.
Plus he wants to go on tour with this one man show. It's just kind of like, dude, do you ever stop to breathe?
I don't think he sleeps. That's why he has that creepy torso. What you don't know is he's actually part zombie.
Yeah, I've got a picture that kind of proves it. He's a Nazi zombie, but
all right, let's go to our last clip with him.
His tip, yes. His tip for actors everywhere.
I'll give you one unsolicited tip. If you ever have to do a nude scene where you're throwing a girl around back and forth and they tell you that they need to tape your testicles up so they're not swinging around because that's not in the rating, don't let them tell them to use the duct tape, because the gaffer's tape just doesn't hold that shit. Gaffer's tape is just not going to hold. They're like, oh no, the duct tape will go. The duct tape will hurt too much. I was like, I don't think this gaffer tape's going to do the job. And then, sure enough, this happened to me and to another guy on the shoot, and we both exchanged notes. And I said, did the gaffer's tape work? He was like, no, hell no. About halfway through, it pops loose. And so then they got an editing problem.
So the I don't know. If it was me, too, I'd make sure that I shaved beforehand.
Oh, man. Then you get a call from the editor right beforehand that says, sorry, but we couldn't completely edit around, so we got a little bell clapper action going on. You're like, damn it. And he said, it's just a few frames. Nobody's going to notice it. But still, should have used the duct tape. The perils of low-budget filmmaking.
You know what's great about this is an interview that I still to this day I keep on my phone and listen to it in the car when I'm in a bad mood, because it just listening to him cheers me up. The man is so funny.
The one clip I thought about it afterwards, but it was actually in that intro. The nude nuns with big guns or whatever.
Yes.
The quote that he had, he was saying like, what was great about that is if he wants to see a movie, if the title is Nude Nuns with Big Guns, that's what he wants to see.
Yeah.
And if that's in there, he's a happy man.
Yeah. You know what's going to be in there. You know there's going to be naked nuns, and there's going to be a lot of guns. Big ones.
And, yeah. And he was like, you know, and sure enough, you know, 5 minutes in, there we go. And I thought it was like, you know, I haven't seen that particular movie yet because you guys haven't given it to me. I just thought it was great that, you know, like any one of us, you know, we want to go see a movie. If I'm going to go see a movie called The Hobbit, I want to see Hobbits. If I see, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean, I want to see Pirates. If it comes, you know, in this particular case, I want to see naked nuns with very large guns.
Right.
And I'm not necessarily talking about the automatic kind.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So, yes, having Bill on was definitely one of the highlights. We did have some of, and I'm going to jump to our resident, It Sucked. What were some of the films that we talked about that you kind of wish that we didn't, that you didn't see, that took you time off your life?
Well, obviously the first two out of those three movies that that you made me watch, the 11-11-11
and Skyline.
Those were just god-awful films. Give me 2 seconds, and I think we've got a list of movies.
I'm sure there's like one every week.
Let me scroll down to when about I started. Ironically enough, I didn't care for Abraham Lincoln versus Zombies, but I loved the movie because of Bill. Uncle Sam was terrible. The Cat People, the original was good. The second one, not so much. Sleepwalkers, I think we all agreed that it wasn't complete. It didn't completely suck.
But it was hovering.
Yeah. I didn't care for, let's see, let me just scroll down here, because some of them are like, ah, they're all right, or they're not great.
Now, for me, the 2006 Tooth Fairy.
See, I was actually just looking at that. But what was good about that show was Hard Candy, even though it didn't, you know, there was some confusion, and we won't relive that.
That was the one that
which is
me,
part of the worst part.
Yeah,
yes.
especially for Jeff, because that was
especially
the one
for me because I was missing.
Yeah, Jeff was missing, and that was the one that me, you, and we had my wife Kelly on, and somehow the three of us, when we get together, this weird vibe happens where it's like whoever's not around and can't defend themselves, we're just going to keep ripping on them and going deeper and deeper and deeper until there's nothing left, and Jeff is on the floor weeping.
So to me, that is the worst episode we had this last year.
And I felt bad after that. I really did. I'm sorry,
I think
Jeff.
It was either that episode or the following episode. Was Kelly with us when we talked about – or Jeff, you were back with us when we talked about The Mist, weren't you?
No, I was missing for that one, too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, sure. Maybe that was the one where...
We had Kelly back on for that one.
Okay, that was where I probably uttered my famous line, I'm a bad, bad King fan.
Yeah.
I hated, and I know I disagreed with you guys on this, I hated Pan's Labyrinth. And let's see, the following...
Oh, yeah, and then we were supposed to watch an episode or give our favorite episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark or Goosebumps. And yeah, you didn't even know what those were.
Didn't see them, never read them. But then the following episode was the one where I astounded both of you because we all agreed that the stuff was terrible. But then Rubber, I was like, you know what? I got nothing.
Yeah. you were just nothing. Completely confused. You had no idea what you just watched.
You know, of course, then we did our Halloween retrospective, you know, good, bad, not. You know, terrible. Those, yeah, you know, there wasn't a lot that I just absolutely hated other than, you know.
The films got better is what you're saying.
Either no, that or I'm getting or you're numb to it.
that's probably closer to the truth because that's what I know that's what happens to Jason and I is we actually get numb to how bad things are and actually look for redeeming qualities.
Yeah. But so, see, then, you know, if we go back to like episode 87 where we did Wolf and Silver Bullet, you know, it was like you would think Wolf, which was, you know, starring one of the greatest actors of our time, Jack Nicholson, and we all agreed that it was really kind of a plotting, didn't really
go anywhere or do anything.
Right. Yeah. Whereas Silver Bullet, we were like, we were actually kind of surprised that it didn't suck so bad.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I think we've had a really good variety of things. And I one of the things I really like about our show is, you know, not just because – you know, it gives me a chance to do something. I think our dynamic just really works where there's a lot of times when you guys agree on something and I'm like, nope, sorry, hated it.
Yeah.
Or don't
and there's been times
it.
When Mike and I agreed. Right. And that's like, that's shocking to both of us. We still have time. You know, we're still trying to get over some of that.
Jeff has went on prescription drugs because of a couple of them. Yes. He's like, he's laying down in the psychiatrist's bed going, I agreed with Mike.
The doctor keeps telling me it's not as bad as you think.
Yes. And he's like, no, I agreed.
No, you don't understand.
I agreed with him.
Jen hasn't let me touch her since I told her I agreed with Jeff. So.
All right. Episode 93, we had our guest Cheryl Compton on. Who, along with Bill Oberst Jr., they were actually, or they have now shot, edited, and has it been released yet, The Dark Cinema?
No, it hasn't been released yet. They've actually just, I think it's still in post-production.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The last time I talked to Cheryl, she said it was still in post-production. But that is one of those that has led to so many great things that we are now paying attention to for the future of the CreeperCast. Because a lot of the filmmakers that are involved in that project have been contacting us for, you know, for reviews. And so I've made a monthly thing out of every month now. I'm going to deal with short films directors and write about them on the website.
Right.
And so much and so on. But yeah, it's supposed to, the whole idea is a TV program based around short horror films.
Yes.
With Bill Oberst being the Crypt Keeper.
And right after that, and it's not on here, this was while I was traveling back from Oregon. I guess it's not back, but traveling from Oregon to Michigan.
This was actually one of my favorite episodes, honestly.
Yeah.
And I actually really enjoyed this from the, if I were to do it, Mike's Greatest Hits, this one follows up. Because
and what episode is that? Because in our list, you don't have it on here.
It's 94.
94. Yes. 94, Zombies 101 is what you have on here. The Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah. Well, she came on as guest host.
Oh, that's right. Then, she came on as a guest host, right. Not as a guest.
We're, of course, talking about Rihanna and Frater.
Yes.
And she came on as guest
Rihanna
host.
Rihanna and Frater as the World Dies trilogy.
And, you know, I was able to, you know, right afterwards listen to that. And, man, she is not only knowledgeable, but she is fiery.
Yeah.
I guess that's the word.
Especially with the reason why, and just I'm hoping you're going to play the clip that's of Mike's review. And so as a disclaimer, Mike, I did kind of chop up the review just to get to, you know, the meat
of it. Oh, yeah, I figured it is.
Okay.
So is that clip one or clip two?
That'd be clip one.
All right.
So okay. tell us about our guest host book, Mike, and make it good. I think I heard her cock a rifle.
All right. Welcome to Captain Creeper's Book Corner, guys. This week, as we have already established, I am reviewing As the World Dies, Book 1, The First Days, by Rhiannon Frater. I was prepared, honestly, to not like this book almost right from the start. I'm like, okay, another zombie apocalypse book. There's a glut on the market. And then I read the back and realized that the two main characters were women. Okay, you don't see that very often, so all right, maybe. I saw the author was a woman. Now, I was worried that it was – I honestly thought it was going to be some light, chick-lit, paranormal romance thing with heaving bosoms and ripped bodices.
Darn it. I should have written that. Shades of zombie gray right there. It could have been a million.
And I'm not sure how that was going to work with zombies, but, you know, that's where my process thought was.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I was wrong. It's fast-paced, it's full of action, and it's believable.
Well, let's talk about what we were talking about with the stereotype thing. You had felt that Katie had taken on the role of a man, and I said, I was so flabbergasted by that, and I said, but she actually was the role of the mother of the caretaker. And that was an interesting – then we discussed about how there's like certain stereotypes or tropes in literature and in movies where it's always – occupied by a man. So if you put a woman in there, you're automatically assuming that she's taken on male trait, you know, and it's not your fault. It's kind of like the way we've been set up to regard it. But Katie takes on like this mother sister role, older sister, motherly type role.
This is actually, you know, excuse me if I speak out of turn.
No, go for it.
And I have a habit of
saying
really stupid things.
Can I finish my review, please?
And I have I have to make my comment.
But I
have
to
make my comment
first.
He
wasn't being dumb. He was really, he had a legitimate point, and I thought it was very intriguing and thought-provoking.
And I have to make my stupid comment of the review, which is, you make it sound like Thelma and Louise versus zombies.
I love how you ended it there. Just like that, Thelma and Louise versus zombies, and I could see them both like in Skype turning to you going, you rat bastard.
Well, she actually agreed with me, but I thought it was interesting that, you know, Mike wanted me to use that clip because he yelled at us, but
I'm trying to do my review and like 3 minutes of them discussing, I'm like,
it sucks, doesn't it? When somebody steps on your review or your section or your block, whatever you want to call it.
But again, she was a fantastic guest. I think she was great.
Yeah, and I talked to her quite a bit on Facebook, you know, and I've bought several more of her books recently, which, you know, I will review in the future. And she's just very passionate. And it was very eye-opening. Like we discussed, if you go back and listen to the interview and the show we did, just like she was saying, and you know, we've kind of pre-programmed to what we expect in certain books and stereotypes, and just in a, you know, 20-minute conversation with her, she really opened my eyes as to what I was seeing, and not necessarily wrong, but just a different point of view.
You're so sexist.
I am sexist, but
I love the fact that he was so honest though during the whole thing, is that he's just like, you know, honestly, I was prepared to hate it because of there was a woman that wrote it and it was about women and it was going to have to do with all these things. And her response in the background, just laughing, going, you know, I should have put that in. That was my favorite part of the whole thing. And then, of course, the discussion afterwards when we were getting into the dirtiness of, you know, how to write these books and into comparisons to Twilight, because she's really the anti-Twilight author.
Oh, yes.
And there was a lot of other clips I wanted to pull out of there. I know I did take one of the one that where we were talking about monsters being monsters.
Yes, here it is.
You see, my thing is, if we're afraid of something, if there's a monster that I'm afraid of, I'm going to write about it, but I want to write it in the context of that horror, of dealing with it, of the human mind dealing with absolutely terrifying scenarios. You know, Jenny staring at the tiny fingers of her zombified toddler pushed underneath the front door trying to reach her. Those are the things I want to write about. I don't get the making the monsters nice scenario. I guess it's a way of people dealing with it. Like, if you can take scary, something scary, and make it into something romantic or nice or funny, it's a way of diffusing the fear element. But I never want to see Freddy Krueger as a love story. That has no appeal to me.
Mike and I often talk about the fact that we like our monsters to remain monsters.
I really want to see a movie where somebody is dating Freddy Krueger. Like Freddy Krueger and the wife from Bride of Chucky. The Bride of Chucky, you know, cheats on Chucky with Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, no.
I'm trying to think of other female monsters, but I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. Angela from the Sleepaway Camps, who isn't really female, but she's not really male.
That would actually work. Now that and Freddy, you know, her and Freddy would work.
Yeah. Well, what's the, not really a monster, but definitely a killer in the, wasn't it Rebecca Gayheart in, Urban Legends?
Urban Legends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and she had that really hot psycho look to her in one scene that, that's where, I came up with, my, scary hot scale. Because there's some stuff that, you know, women in some movies or I guess even in real life will do that is so scary. You're kind of like, it's kind of hot. I'm terrified of you right now, but.
kind of aroused at the same time. Yeah.
but oddly turned on by it.
Speaking of things that oddly turned Jason on.
You mean when we talk about Halloween for four weeks? Four weeks of Halloween.
4 weeks of Halloween, and I think you actually.
This has got to be my second favorite episode, honestly, because it was Halloween, and I think I must have said it about a dozen times during this call or this show. I cannot wait for this book.
No, and of course, what he's talking about is our interview with Justin Beam, who is a writer for Fangoria magazine and the author of Halloween, the complete authorized history. Currently, they don't know when it's going to be released or finished, but the man knows his Halloween. I mean, he's worked with the producers and the company that made most of the Halloween films. He's done more research than anybody. He's interviewed people. I mean, this is probably... it's hard to say. He was definitely one of my favorite interviews just because of the content we were talking about.
Well, and the amount of knowledge you were able to glean out of him. It was like, I loved listening to it because I missed this, you know, when it happened. But I loved listening to it because I was just like, oh my God, there's somebody out there that knows a lot more about Halloween than Jason.
Yes.
And Jason, and you had to have been in like heaven.
I was. And it was actually, you know, normally I'm like the Halloween historian that everyone goes to. And this was one that, you know, I'm talking to him and I felt like, just an average Joe off the street going on and trying to talk politics with somebody on, you know, a major news network. You know, that's what I felt like, is I felt like, you know, as much as my knowledge was, it didn't compare. It's like, you know, he was basically what it was is, you know, he was firing an, machine gun while I was still loading a musket.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
nice analogy.
I stole that from Seth MacFarlane when he was asked about if he's ever going to go back and against South Park when they ripped on Family Guy. And he basically said that he goes, you know, we have a 9-month production on an episode. They have a 2-week. So there, but that's exactly how I felt.
Yes. I get that.
And so
if you want to hear this, if you want to hear Jason be stupefied.
Yes. and there was times that literally I'm like, I had no idea. Why did my knowledge not? Wait, what?
Yeah. How did I not get that?
How did I not know that? Or how did I? I mean, yeah. But it was so great talking to him. He's such a great guy. Really cool and chill. And, you know, I would love to have him on and just talk horror films, even.
Cause yeah, just talk any films, because he knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff. He really does. I mean, working for Fangoria, he certainly knows what he's talking about.
Lucky.
And then, you know, the other thing that was great about it that you guys will never know is he actually, you know, gave us some extra tidbits of, you know, stuff about, you know, that he's discovered, or, and, you know, stuff that may or may not end up in the book, and, you know, that, you know, we're not allowed to talk about.
We have been sworn to secrecy.
Yeah.
Well, we know more
stuff that I will never know for sure.
And Jeff will never know because he didn't join us. That was one that normally I record my our after talks for later, and that was one that, you know, because he was giving us stuff and I didn't want to take the chance, I actually turned off the recording. So
jerk.
I know.
You're not supposed to actually turn off the recording. Jeez.
And, you know, that takes us right up to the end with our listener appreciation show, where I want to thank the guys from Evolution of the Apocalypse, because they called in and they wished us a happy. That was our 100th episode. 100 is a big hallmark in podcasting, and it was a big one for us.
It felt like a huge one for us, that's for sure.
Yes. And
especially since the first year was so touch and go, and then of course in the last year and a half we've been, you know, nonstop. And it's great to reach that point. And it's great to be appreciated by people who, you know, like Mike and Matt, who also have a fantastic show of their own, who, by the way, at the same time that this show is coming out, will also have a show with Bill O'Burst Jr. coming out.
Yeah, I just saw that on Facebook, actually. I was like, I'll have to tune in.
You know, and this has been such an amazing year. I think our first year of the podcast, we were still trying to figure out who we were.
And what exactly we were doing.
Right. And I think with our second year, you know, we became more comfortable on who we were, what we were doing, the format of the show. We certainly came up with a different format thanks to Mike joining us, where rather than just talking about films, we had Mike's Captain Creeper's Book Cornered come in. We had Jeff's
which
News.
I'm so which glad is, we're doing now.
Yeah. And a lot of people have been asking about book reviews and why we don't do it or didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you're
Jeff.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you. Jeff has all, you know, done the news for quite a while, but I didn't have a section all to myself. And so I took the reins of doing what's going on with TV news and TV shows, which, by the way, right now everything's on hiatus and it's killing me.
Yeah, I can't wait for Grimm to come back, honestly.
I can't wait for The Walking Dead. I can't wait for Supernatural. I can't wait. I have a lot of them. So
you might have to. So you might have to go back into the archives.
Yes, I actually went on and to iTunes and purchased the second season of American Horror Story. I just haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So hopefully that'll tide me over for a while. So a lot of things have changed. A lot of things have happened. Jeff went to his first convention.
Yes,
and
that's where we got the Walking Dead people and the clips from them.
And the clip, and I know you've heard it a few times, but here's the clip that he got with Madison Linz and my response, where Sophia, I ripped on her all season last season. And then he comes back with this response.
Hey, Jason. I'm very worth it, by the way. I think they were looking for Sophia because if they lost me, then if they survived, then I would be the next generation. And if they were ever able to get more people, then I would be a key to that. So I'm very worth looking for, Mr. Jason.
Just the way that she says that, it's like, I didn't go after you personally. Like, I felt bad. Like, I took away this girl's, you know, basketball or something.
Her entire reason for living, which
I know
we knew was she wasn't alive anymore at that point anyway, but
I mean,
at least on the show.
Yeah, but I'm talking with Madison. The way she came back at me, it's like, but what was it like talking to her? You talked to her dad too, didn't you?
Yeah, her dad was actually really cool because he's a very well, I'm assuming that it's kind of the, you know, the father running his daughter's
career kind of thing.
And but he was really cool,
making sure that they're not taking advantage of her.
Right, right. And it was funny too, because right after, once she finally understood the question, she actually looked at him and said, "What should I say?" And he whispered in her ear. And then she started talking, and then that part right there, I think, was basically when she was on a roll and pretty much ad-libbing the rest. And so it was great from that. She was fun. She was very, very intelligent for her age, very upbeat and everything, and it was great. I thought it was fun talking to them. She comes from a very, very like actor-centric family, though. So it's like, I guess her mother has been in several films, plus is a stunt person. She's got brothers in films. So it's, I know we're going to see her again in something.
Yeah, I don't think The Walking Dead is the end for her, because she is very talented.
Yes.
Very, very talented.
Especially based on the response she gave you.
But Sophia, you can just die.
She did. It's okay.
Get rid of her.
We can move on. We can move on now.
You know, and the thing that really made me feel bad is how many times I said, you know, I called her ugly redhead. And then you talk to her, and I'm thinking, God,
at least I didn't tell her that.
Yeah, I know. I'm really happy you didn't tell her that. And if you're listening to this right now, I feel bad, because that is an actual rip on you, and I feel really bad. I do.
Okay, now that we have Jason feeling really bad.
And with that, so some of the other things, though, that were great, you know, obviously the change in the format, bringing Mike onto the show. I will say this year was also difficult for me near the end of the year, because I did move from Oregon to Michigan. And so you'll probably notice that during that time, the sound kind of changed a little bit. Because, you know, the environment change that I'm recording in and stuff, until I find a better way of recording. But, you know, I think moving to the Midwest actually helps a lot, because now I'm actually closer to a lot more film conventions that I'm able to go to.
What's going on? Yeah.
One thing that I'm looking forward to coming up in 2013 is going to the Horror Hound Weekend.
Oh.
Yes.
Bastard. So lucky there.
Which is in Indiana. And I already told work, even though I'm not allowed to put in yet for it, I'm taking that weekend off, or that week off. I'm not missing that.
You know, I really wish I actually still spoke to my brother, because he lives there. And, you know, if I was actually talking to him, I might be able to set something up, but you'll just have to do it for us, man.
You know what I need to do is
wish I was rich.
I need to talk, I need to talk to Bill and be like, "Hey, you going to Horror Hound?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'll go, "Great, we're going to room together." Like, not even ask him, just tell him, "All right, we're going to room together."
We're doing it. Deal with it.
Yeah. This is how it's happening. You're going to be my my guest host all weekend.
You get the bottom bunk.
And then so coming up in 2013, anything coming up in 2013 that you want to let people know about, that we want to change, or that we want to do differently? One thing that I wanted to do in 2012 that I didn't get to, but I want to do it in 2013, is I want to make a video portion of our website.
Yes, you were actually like on a good path to making that happen last year, and then the move and everything happened. And we were going to do it we're basically talking about doing a video news program, right?
Right. A little 3 minute, 5 minute video news, you know, trailers, stuff like that. Because
both of us work in TV, we should be able to pull that off.
Right. You know, I've got the green screen. I've got a new high definition, camera to be able to shoot on. I've got, by the way, with this new camera, Jeff, if you come up to Michigan, we can actually shoot some trailers for some of our stuff, because, this is a beautiful camera.
Okay.
Anyway, so you know, that's one thing that I do want to see coming up. One thing that I'm hoping for this year, I want more audience interaction, you know, more listener interaction. We did stop doing the live broadcast, which we used to do on Wednesday evenings. Now we pre-record and post on Wednesdays, but that's due to conflicts that we have to have outside of the podcast and fitting the schedule in.
Real life.
Real life,
when
yes.
Real life gets in the way.
But, you know, but that means that we need your interaction. We need you to call in. We need you to write in. We need people to leave messages on our SpeakPipe. We do so many ways to get a hold of us that now it's the ball's in your court. So if you want to hear yourself on the podcast and let everybody, you know, give us your opinions on movies that we have coming up or that we're talking about. Tell us what you think, if you think we're wrong, because that's the beauty of this, you know, yes. Is that when it comes to films and stuff, maybe you don't agree with us. And if you don't, rather than just yelling at the, us, you know, through the podcast, yell
Which
at us
can't
in real
hear
life.
You. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yell we at can't us hear in you real if you're life. Yelling at- We also, I mean, just it goes beyond. We made it really easy for you on the website. All you have to do is click on the, you know, the most laptops now come with a mic and a camera. So all you have to do is if you click on that SpeakPipe link, you're already talking. You're already leaving us a message. We have, of course, the phone number, the email addresses and all of that. And then the best thing, which has become my pet project, is the website. You can always leave comments on everything that we post on the website.
And we
There's
want
always
more
a comment section.
Yeah, we want more comments because the more comments that there are, then the more people know what you think. Rather than having to completely listen to the podcast to find out what you think, if you leave a comment, that's a great place.
Yes.
For interaction,
it's instant satisfaction.
It is.
Well, and that's what I thought was great, you know, about our listener appreciation. We did have comments that not only led to just a regular discussion, but it led us to a couple of movies that we may not have watched before.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Friends of our, not only the show, but, you know, friends in real life, our friend Scott, a friend of mine, a guy I work with, Nick, who gave us the movie Signal. Which was, you know, not the greatest film, but it was, you know, we all kind of enjoyed it. And I forget, didn't our buddy Scott got us to watch something too, and I can't remember what it was.
We established 197 movies in two. Oh,
yeah. thing about, you know, that kind of feedback is, you know, not only gets us the movies and, you know, it shows that you guys are listening and, you know, like I said, it gets us to movies we don't necessarily might not watch, but not only that, I have the two book reviews that I probably would have never come across these books if our friend Dean Scurlock had not sent us a link or sent us the, you know, an email saying, hey, could you give us a review? I reviewed his book, and we're still trying to – the problem is there's at least a 6 or 7 hour difference in time zones.
The time difference has a little bit of a problem with getting him on. But
but we're still trying to get him on, and I'm just about finished with our second listener submission, Ragnarok Rising. And the gentleman who wrote that – and this is my bad. I can't think of the guy's name right off the top of my head. But he's actually not that far from me. He is in St. Louis, Missouri.
Huh.
So hopefully we can get him to join us on the show. And again, if it weren't for people listening to the show and submitting this, I probably would never have come across these books.
And again, because of audience participation and that type of thing, we've had some great audience participation. Don't get us wrong there. Always want more, though. An example of how audience participation is really helping the CreeperCast evolve. I mean, whereas we may be the creepers, you are the cast members. You heard Barry Bostwick ask you to be a cast member, and that's basically what we're asking you to do. And you know, we all evolve together into this, and you get certain things like what happened with, I know in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a guy that I've met who's been a friend of the show for 2 years, and I work with the guy and didn't even know. He's been like a friend with us from the beginning. And we're going to be doing a Clive Barker as a director, you know, retrospective with him in a few weeks. It's leading us to getting, like, I've gotten several independent films handed to me because of things we're doing, and these are people that we're going to keep on talking to. So that's why I continually beseech people, if you're an author, if you're a filmmaker, if you're a writer, if you do anything in the category of, you know, horror, we even don't mind science fiction and fantasy because sometimes they all interlink. It's just let us know and we will love to check these things out. That's why I have these new columns I'm going to be doing every month on the website. That's why we're going to be doing a monthly independent feature film discussion. I know we're working towards one of them pretty soon. All kinds of fun stuff that we'd like to do. And the more we get into contact with you all, the more we can do. And we love that.
Right. And, tell your friends, pass the love, too.
Pass the love. Be a cast member.
Be a cast member. And, some of the thank yous for 2012 that I want to give it out to Casey, who's a cast member and a great friend of the show. She also joins us every week now on our Walking Dead Week in Review podcast, which you can find on iTunes and Stitcher and all over, including our website, creepercast.com. Barry Bostwick, I want to thank him for joining us. He was our first interview. Bill Oberst Jr., we couldn't thank you enough.
No, there's no way.
We really couldn't. I want to give a shout-out to the guys over at the Evolution of the Apocalypse, Matt and Mike. These guys, if you haven't listened to them, these guys, they are just kicking it over there. I mean, they are doing awesome stuff with Evolution of the Apocalypse. Great friends and listeners of the show for a long time. I ended up finding out about them by them leaving a message on our iTunes page. And when I listened to their first episode, I found out that, they listened to the Creepercast since from the beginning. So, I want to thank them for everything they've done, and we will be doing some crossover episodes with The Walking Dead. Gary Striner was awesome. Jack Perez, I know this is 2011, but Jack Perez and Ryan Levin
have continued to be great friends.
They have, and I still talk to Ryan Levin every now and then. Jay Fosgett is a great friend of the show, great friend, personal friend of mine. Nick Everhart is doing some great things, and we appreciate him being on the show. Scott Glosserman has been so great to us and still talks to me and still talks and gives us updates on where he's at, and has invited us out when he does start shooting the sequel to Leslie Vernon, that we will be able to be out there on the set for a week.
If Jason can move back to Oregon for a week.
I'm not moving back, but I will take a week off work, and I will fly out there. And I don't care if I have to pitch a tent and camp. I will be out there. Sure. So,
well, that'd be totally worth it.
With that, I want to thank everybody for helping out. And any last things before I start the music?
Thank you to all the future. To all the future guests, I'm already working on lining stuff up. We have a lot of interesting shows going to happen soon. So, and a lot of great stuff happening on the website. I can't stress enough that, along with this show that you're listening to, there's also a website where we pack full of stuff. Yeah. And next week we actually get back on track with, that's when our Zombies 101 humor introspective show is, with Shaun of the Dead and Dance of the Dead. Immediately the week after that, we get into the Clive Barker's Book of Blood, or his own Book of Blood, if you will. And it goes on and on and on from there. More book reviews. I know Mike's like working his butt off to get book reviews done, and movie reviews and everything. We're looking forward to much, much more.
Exactly. And with that, let's hit the music. All right. Once again, we thanked everybody, and we want to thank you one more time. To get a hold of us, give us a call at 503-454-6941 to leave a message on our listener feedback hotline. You can also email us at feedback@creepercast.com. Go to our website at creepercast.com and leave a voice message through our SpeakPipe account. Or if you want, you can also go to creepercast.com/feedback, where that'll simply take you to where you need to go. And you don't have to click anything. It's all right there. We are on Twitter at twitter.com/creepercast. And we have a great cast site at facebook.com/creepercast. And for you Google Plus members, go to creepercast.com/G+. And my music stopped. I need to start it again. creepercast.com/G+ to join us on Google Plus. All right. Thank you, guys. This has been awesome and so fun to look back on 2012.
Oh, definitely. And to the future.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to my uncle's podcast.